Hey guys, welcome to a new episode of Right Bites Club. In this episode, we're going to follow up the discussion on GPT-3 and dive into a few specific business models that I've been thinking about running, as well as some other ones that I haven't personally been considering, but you might want to. Kind of just diving into some more direct application of how you could use this new technology to power some existing business models that are fairly successful but still somewhat expensive, but might not be with the use of this tool. So as a quick review, what we talked about Monday, the three things that GPT-3 cannot do, the reason it is not a direct competitor to you as a writer, is that it has really no, you know, long-form narrative abilities. It can't provide insights, and it cannot cannot just write content that it then provides, kind of automatically provides supporting evidence to. That said, while that is the type of writing that drives, you know, the freelance market, that drives thousands of businesses to hire freelancers, it's not the only type of content. And so what we're looking for in thinking of how can we make use of GPT-3, how can we make use of this new technology, we're looking for business models that are built around content which is repetitive, more fact objective based, and is, you know, doesn't require any sort of experiential insights or unique insights. So somewhat insight-free, just kind of straightforward content. And when you start to think about it, there's actually a lot of business models that operate on this type of content. And so I'm going to go through three different kind of categories that I've been able to think of. But keep in mind that this is just, spending a few minutes thinking through this. There's a lot more potential here that I will not, you know, that I have not yet discovered. So take the categories that we talk about here and feel free to run with them and kind of dig in yourself into thinking about where different possibilities could lie. So the first one is affiliate sites that are built around repetitive, low-quality information, or even ad revenue type sites, although there's really not a whole lot of those left. They still do exist. The problem with these types of sites, you know, affiliate payouts continue to get lower and lower over time for the most part, as, you know, as the space gets more and more competitive. And as, you know, companies build their own lead acquisition models, the long-term incentive of, you know, paying good affiliate rates out kind of diminishes. We've seen Amazon is sort of the de facto example of affiliate revenue. They're kind of a massive microcosm of the entire space, which is, you know, we've seen over the years every few years, even every few quarters, they lower affiliate payouts. They're a business that relied significantly on affiliate payouts. It's one of the big levers that they used to get big. What a lot of businesses and what Amazon has kind of done a textbook job of over the years is use certain mechanisms to grow and then discard them, you know, once they no longer need them. And so pretty much, you know, all the affiliate marketers who helped Amazon become what it is today, they're expendable now, and Amazon has no qualms with, you know, showing them the door. But that said, there are still, you know, there is still affiliate money to be made. The problem is that content, even low quality content, can be expensive. You know, when we talk about stuff like, when we talk about real low quality content, I think of, you know, tech and product reviews. Even on the major sites, like if you go do a lot of tech reviews right now, you can see almost immediately the entire selection of items being reviewed are essentially copy-pasted from Amazon's bestseller list, because the whole point of these tech and product reviews are affiliate payouts. So the quality that is currently ranking in the space is extremely low. Like, no one is investing serious time into making these reviews good. And the information being provided is not experiential. It's not, you know, very few of these tech sites are doing true experiential product reviews. Pretty much the only people doing that still are the YouTube equivalent, you know, the people doing reviews via YouTube video content. But in terms of text-based content, it's basically shit. And so, you know, you could reproduce most of that level of content using GPT-3 very easily. So that gives you the opportunity, because you aren't paying writers for this stuff, because even at, you know, even at 5 to 10 cents per word, content like this adds up, you know, especially in these niches where you need a shitload of this content. You know, so for example, you know, if I wanted to, one thing when I was looking into buying some affiliate sites last year, one thing I noticed is that a lot of these sites, will rank for longer tail stuff, that is just really hasn't been thought of or gotten around to by the bigger sites. So for example, there was this site that I was looking into buying that was making a few hundred bucks, or maybe even 1,000 or 2,000 a month, by ranking for, like, you know, top laptops under $200. And like the sites that, you know, like basically terms like that. And the big sites were ranking for like top laptops under $100, or top laptops under 500, or top laptops under 1,000, but not 200, 300, 400, whereas this site would just do all of those. And you could use, that's the type of thing where you could use GPT-3 to, you know, you could even do some original content for maybe some of the bigger ones, and then essentially just throw that, you know, throw that article through with some filtering through GPT-3 to only knock, you know, to churn out the ones that are in these various price point categories, and basically create a ton of repetitive but not identical content that's going to rank for some things purely by volume. So that's a really intriguing, you know, opportunity. And the same is true for like rental sites, you know, stuff where you need to have a page targeting like rentals in any given particular city. You know, again, it allows you to very quickly, if you can just put some data points in, like if you could go, you know, say it was like car rental, best car rental business in San Diego, and you want to do that for every city in California. You just make a prompt for each one, and maybe a list of like the top 10 sites you see on Google Maps or something, and just throw it in there. And you know, and you now, instead of needing to hire a writer to see if you can get any of this stuff to rank and pay several thousand dollars, you throw it through GPT-3 and get all this content right away. Again, I'm not sure how much GPT-3 is going to cost. They haven't set a price yet, and I'm not sure how exactly it'll have to work to be able to utilize it. But if it's, you know, assuming that cost is low enough to want to pursue some of these business models, which I can't imagine it being, you know, can't imagine it being more than even a few hundred bucks per month at max. You know, that's kind of what's going to be possible. So, you know, review sites, rental sites, like even recipe sites, stuff like that, you know, where, like I mentioned on Monday, people don't actually read most of that stuff on the recipe, you know, like you can just use it to fill that stuff in. You know, this is kind of what's possible to be generating a lot of this repetitive, low quality content across a ton of long tail keywords that you know, previously would need to at least hire a very low cost writer to do. So that's the first category. Second category, and this one is probably the most cheeky, would be fulfilling low quality writing services, AKA hopping into some of these content mills and, you know, using GPT-3 to fulfill orders. So basically selling GPT-3 content to people who are trying to hire low quality content from human writers. Because again, you know, it's going to be indistinguishable for some of these lower article count, you know, very low quality, low article count word or low word count articles. So that's an interesting idea as well. I probably won't be doing that, just because I still, like, in terms of what my time-based opportunity cost is, even just creating prompts isn't going to be worth $15, you know, or whatever you can make for some of this content. But it's something that's potentially worth experimenting with. And then the final one that I've identified is brands that are content-driven. So we're talking about real content that people actually read, but content that is not built around insights, but is more built around aggregation and curation. And this one is a little more complex, but when we talk about certain topics that people are building followings around, there's stuff like, you know, there's stuff that's more objective-based, stuff that's more, you know, data-based, like stuff like historical info or news and current events, anything that's like more based around a subset of key data that people are looking for rather than the narrative around the data. And maybe it's something, even if there is some level of narrative needed, you can use GPT-3 to create the bulk of it and then just come in and kind of insert a little bit of narrative throughout or insert an insight or two. But I feel like that concept of aggregation, you know, we're seeing so many like premium newsletters and, premium like content curation type entities sprouting up. And a lot of them are pretty niche specific. They're kind of built more in that like investor finance type world. But there's like some carryover to other areas as well. And so I think there's definitely some opportunity to find areas where what people are really looking for is like some specific pieces of key data. And then you can essentially just wrap that data in language via GPT-3. And so it's kind of turning the data into the deliverable that you need, even though the data is the core value piece of the content. So I'm a little less specific in my applications there. I think the news and current events one could be kind of a big thing there. I also, it's kind of just on the tip of my brain of like some of these content areas where you're trying to aggregate some, you know, some more factual information and present it. Even when we talk about something as simple as like historical info, you know, how interesting would it be? Because GPT-3's, you know, ability is to consume a bunch of content and spit out other content. So it seems really interesting to me, the idea of like taking some of these areas that are not hidden information, they're not unavailable information, but the packaging is not particularly concise or helpful, and it covers a wide swath of, and this is why I'm using historical info in particular, because you have endless amounts of history out there, endless amounts of content, but it's still difficult to access. Like if I know exactly what I'm looking for, I can find historical info, but there's not really like a lot of sites out there where you can sort of like navigate through these large swaths of historical data or historical fact in a way that almost lets you kind of craft your own journey and craft your own experience. Again, I'm struggling to articulate this well, but that's kind of a tip of my tongue, tip of my brain type thing where I think the aggregation and the curation of available information is going to be a new focal point of resources and apps and products even in the future, because we're at this point in history where we have all this information at our fingertips, and what is starting to become more important than the info itself is the ability to navigate that info in a meaningful and productive or even objective-driven or even just experience-driven way. So anyway, That's probably a little beyond the scope of GPT-3, but just something I've been thinking about. So I hope some of that was insightful for you and it's given you some ideas. I have some specific plans to try it in the rental space particularly. I was thinking about doing an like RV rental type website. And I had been pricing out what I need to pay to hire writers to do a lot of that content. And, you know, it was still going to be several thousand dollars a month. So what I think I'm going to try doing is seeing what type of content I can generate in that space via GPT-3. And if that's going to be a viable method for getting some of this more repetitive, like, you know, RV rentals in Tucson, RV rentals in Phoenix, RV rentals in Fairfield, you know, stuff like that, and see, you know, see what I can do with that. So anyway, we'll see what happens. Hope that's given you guys some ideas, and I will catch you in the next episode.